south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. You know, I get a lot of comments on my YouTubes. I think I got 150 or so up there now. And you know, sometimes people don't leave their names or their emails. In fact, most of the times they don't. Like, for example, this one. Lady writes, from Panama. She's a Latin, of course, because her English was pretty spotty. I'll fill in the gaps. She says, you're wrong about Latins and their dogs. We don't let them poop around the house, like you're always saying on your shows. Now, that one made me laugh, because it's true. Not all Latins let their dogs poop around the house, but I've been in more middle-class Latin houses where there's that evil stench of urine and dog poop when you sit down on the dirty sofa in the living room. And I'm telling you, you live down here long enough and you make some local friends, that's going to happen to you. But you know, if you had any white trash friends or trailer court buddies like I had when I was growing up, you just get used to the fact when you walk into a kind of a rickety old home, white trash, trailer court, or Section 8 home, there are on occasion unpleasant smells that you hope are coming from dogs, not human. I mean, come on, no one likes to step in poop, but why is it we much prefer to step in dog poop over human poop? And of course, urine. That's pretty unpleasant. No one wants to deal with that, but we much prefer dog urine over human urine too, don't we? Unless, of course, it's your own kids, I guess. Now, I can tell you, it's a fact they put undersized plumbing in most Latin middle and lower middle class homes, which means they're going to put the used TP in the garbage can alongside the toilet. Yes, for us, it's highly revolting and we never get used to it. But for Latins, it's just the everyday way of doing things. So when you go into the average middle and lower middle class Latin's bathroom, you better make it quick because there will be that persistent outhouse smell. It's something we gringos never get used to, but obviously Latins grow up accustomed to that. So you could say their noses are detuned to the fact that when you walk into their houses, if they've got dogs or cats, and some of them, if not most of them do, you'll pick up on it right away. And you don't mention that to the homeowners because they'd probably be insulted. However, I remember not so long ago, I was in Managua, Nicaragua, with a gringa lady friend and her kid who was around 5 or 6. It was their first time to Latin America. We were visiting a middle-class Latin person's house, and her kid came out of the bathroom and said out loud, very loud, as you know, young kids are often way too loud when they speak. And he said this right in front of the family. Mom, I don't like that bathroom. It's really stinky. Now, normally, that would have been a very embarrassing scene. Luckily for us, the owners of the house didn't speak English. Yep, kids can be brutally honest. Now, that's not to say there aren't some low-class, dingy houses in the States that don't have pretty much the same gamey, animalish aroma. Yep, if your place isn't that clean and your animals aren't either, well, I guess you get used to it, right? An expat Eddie will vouch for me on that. He comes from trailer trash himself, and he's proud of it. Because, like he says, when you come from nothing, it's no big stretch to go back there if you hit a rough patch and find a comfort zone again, if you have to. However, Eddie's also right when he points out, if you're born into a family that had things and never had to struggle, hitting a rough patch or going backwards economically takes a much bigger toll, which is why so many middle and upper middle class Americans are on antidepressants. In fact, Eddie says, all his relatives and friends who were basically lower middle class in the States, you could call them white trash, though they may be a little rough around the edges, Eddie said they were pretty happy and content as a rule. He said they know how to have fun without spending money. And he said it was a funny thing. He went to a kind of a lower class high school and no one ever tried to commit suicide or slit their wrists or any such nonsense. Meanwhile, he said, about 10 miles away, there was an upper-middle-class high school, mostly entitled kids who would never mix with the kids from Eddie's high school. And every once in a while, you'd hear about a kid who tried to off himself or actually succeeded. Wait a minute. How did we digress from dog poop to suicide? Where were we? Oh, yeah. It was a lady from Panama complaining that I was wrong about Latin people letting their dogs pee and poop in the house. Well, I'm here to tell you. In no way are Latin businesses, houses, yards, garages, cars, you name it, as clean or as well taken care of as the same kind of possessions up north. It seems like in Latin America, there's kind of an accelerated entropy, if you know what I mean. They actually have a Spanish word for it down here. It's called descuidado, which means unkempt, messy, disordered. However, if you notice in Latin neighborhoods and barrios up in the States, the very same thing persists. Migrating Latins seem to bring that entropy with them. Now, occasionally, down here, you'll hear Latins dissing Trump. You'll see it all the time on TV and in the media. And once in a while, you'll get in discussions with Latins, and they'll tell you that Latins pay their taxes. They're a positive force up in the States and have contributed much. And you know what I tell them? I say, take a ride through the average Latin barrio up in the U.S., where a lot of Spanish, or mostly Spanish, is spoken, and tell me what you see as the difference between that and the nearest traditional old-school neighborhood. In one word, entropy. They're descuidado up in the States, too. They bring those bad habits with them, like, for example, chronic littering, and transpose them back to their neighborhoods up in the States. And after I point that out to a Latin person, they always shrug and say, yeah, but it's a cultural thing. Oh, and I know this is so un-PC to say, but it's the same down here in Latin America. Sure, these days there are plenty of gated, guarded communities with beautiful gardens, immaculate streets and yards and houses, but that's because people who live in these communities can afford their own gardeners and maintenance men. And cleaning ladies, of course. But remember, as I said in past shows, they have to be trained if you want them to really clean like you'd expect a person whose full-time job was to be a full-time cleaning professional. Well, again, I'm here to tell you, I know wealthy Latin people who've got two full-time maids, and their house still would never pass muster with a gringo. And since I'm complaining here, number one, look at the switch plates on your house. You know, when you open a door and you're going to turn on a light, you hit the switch and there's a plastic plate around it, usually set in with two screws, right? I'm telling you right now, 95, probably 98% of all the Latin households that have a full-time maid, if you look closely, you'll notice most plastic switch plates that get a lot of use and the paint surrounding the switch plate can look just as stained and munged up as the switch plates on a white trash trailer court home in the States. And I've seen quite a few of those, too. And you know, there's one other thing. Well, there's a lot of things. But here's one thing that bothers a lot of kind of finicky gringos and gringas. They go into a Latin person's house. Could be an upper middle class or wealthy Latin's house. And they have nice stuff, quality furniture, sofas and chairs covered with what they call tela. Tela means fabric. Now, furniture covered with fabric is not a good choice here in Latin America, especially light-colored fabric, which Latins seem to love. And I'll tell you, down here, light-colored fabric does not stay light-colored for long. And why Latins just love whites and beiges and off-whites for their furniture, I'll never know. I mean, they've got their kids who are always sucking on sodas and ice creams and junk food, and the dog's always jumping up on the furniture. Man, just not a very intelligent purchase. So it looks nice new, but what happens within a couple of months? Looks absolutely like the furniture in a white trash home up in the States. Yep, you could be nice and say grease, grime, and ground in spots of unknown origin. Believe me, it's better, you don't know. And of course, since Latins are extremely friendly, nice, and kind, and very obliging to gringos, in fact, you might be the only gringo that's ever been in that house. They're going to say, sit down, make yourself comfortable. Well, how are you going to be comfortable sitting on a damp, grimy spot of unknown origin? Are you okay with that? Well, especially you gringo ladies who are a lot more finicky about your clothes and outfits and appearance than us men are. By the way, ladies, I don't know how you put up with us sometimes, but thanks for cutting us slack on that. Now, I can't tell you how many dozens, if not hundreds of times this has happened to me. And I've heard ladies complain to me many times. I'm talking about gringas now. Once we get outside and head back towards the car, they'll say something like, Johnny, they were nice and all that, but did you see that grungy furniture? And we sat on it. And then you plant your butt on your own car seat. Spreading the wealth, you might say, huh? That's why so many gringos I know, especially gringas, when they get home from a day in the city or after visiting Latin friends, they drop their drawers in a nice way and change immediately once they get in the house. That's before they ever plunk their butt down anywhere. Kind of like the Japanese who have the right idea, you know, you can't walk into their houses without first taking off your shoes. Oh, and here's one for you. The other day I was talking to a gringa who has been down here in Central America for 5 or 6 years now. She just sold a car. It was about 5 years old. She bought it new. Unlike the average Latin, she took beautiful care of it, like so many first world people do. Anyway, she said, surprise, surprise, she sold it to the very first person that came along. She said, you know, Johnny, it was another case of the gringo advantage in action. They saw right away I was a gringo and assumed I take better care of things than the average Latin. At least that's the perception here. She said what really got him hooked on the car was the fact that the seats were immaculate. They just couldn't believe the car was 5 years old. The seats looked brand new because, well, Latin cars, after about 6 months or a year, well, I don't have to draw a picture, do I? And the trick? No trick. She bought seat covers when she first got the car. Something Latin people never do unless they buy a really old junker that's got torn, ripped seats and they have to cover them with something. Best $30 she ever spent, she said. When she decided to sell the car, she threw the seat covers away because the one on the passenger side was a mess. She said hers on the driver's side was fine, but the passenger side was a wreck. Why? Because she'd take the cleaning lady, the maintenance guy, the neighborhood kids, back and forth to the mall, the market, doing errands. So that seat cover had a mix of Coca-Cola crumbs, cake stains, ice cream, coffee, junk food, sweat, and who knows what. Now, if you're the laid-back type and don't care about that stuff, and you're thinking this conversation's a bit too anal, the fact is, one of the comments most fresh green gringos and gringos make when they first get down here is, man, you know, can't believe how dirty that kitchen is, or the bathroom. Man, I'd never want to do my business there. Take me to a McDonald's. However, American first world gringo and gringa backpackers, they learned to ignore or accept that grungy stuff when they were backpacking around the world in their college years. Funny how those gringo standards come tumbling down when you find out the rack rate's only $5 a night. But the fact is, if you never really roughed it in life or did the backpacker thing, you will be put off by things you see in certain houses you're invited to. But when it comes to your own house or apartment here in Latin America, there's no doubt your place will be cleaner, more airy, and just a nicer place in general than your Latin neighbor's dump across the hall or next door. And if you're in the same condo complex or building, you'll have the same layout exactly. It's all about the details, though. Unless, of course, you're planning on scaling down and going native, but few of us do that. So noticing the details or lack thereof is part of your gringo advantage or disadvantage in some cases. Which brings us right back around to Latins and their animals, specifically dogs. And they do love their dogs. Almost all Latin families with a house and any kind of a yard have one or two. And you better believe, ladies, when you visit such a house, you should be wearing long pants or jeans because the dog's going to jump up, say hi, paw you a little bit. And when you sit down on that grungy spotted couch, chances are he's going to jump up, sit right next to you. And don't get me wrong, I'm a dog lover. I've had dogs all my life. But I've always been taught that there's a place for your dog. In some American houses, he's confined to the kitchen or maybe the laundry room. And a small pet dog, well, he's got the general use of the floor, but never the furniture. Unless, of course, he's got his own specific piece of furniture that he's been trained to use, like his particular chair or basket, whatever. But you know, that's a gringo thing. Latins don't seem to have those rules or regulations for pets. They get the run of the house. One of my worst pet peeves, however, sorry, had to slip that in, ew, concerning Latin pet owners' bad or clueless habits, is that Latins who live on the coast or in the lowlands, in the very hot areas, they still manage to have long-haired dogs who are often just miserable in that climate. Short-haired dogs, on the other hand, manage just fine. Not to mention we're talking about the tropics here, where you have huge gardens, a lot of overgrowth, and even jungle. And in my mind, to own a long-haired dog, even up in the Altiplano, where it's nice and cool and they get along just fine, temperature-wise, well, Latins have their dogs in and out of the house all the time, and they are forever picking up ticks and fleas and other insects, killing other critters, dragging them in the house, getting matted with burrs and bits from the jungle and the forest, not to mention tracking through the bush and those big old backyard gardens and bringing that stuff into the house, all stuck and matted into their fur. Suffice it to say, here in Latin America, a short-haired dog is the way to go. However, I know a lot of gringos and expats have a dog up in the States, and when they get their plan B going, they're going to ship them down. Well, no problem there, because being a gringo, you probably got them all trained up. And again, he or she'll be perfectly fine living up in the Altiplano, weather-wise. Again, we're talking about lush, green overgrowth, jungle, beautiful gardens, and lots of bugs and critters like lizards and iguanas for him to play with or deal with. Things he never had to screw with before. Oh, which brings me to a question I get from a lot of people who've never been to the Altiplano. They say, Johnny, how much bug spray or other toxic chemicals do I have to spread on my body to survive there? Well, there are almost no mosquitoes in the Altiplano. Why? Because they like steaming rivers, jungles, and lagoons at sea level, of course. In fact, I'd be willing to bet your own neighborhood up north has more mosquitoes than mine does. That's not to say there aren't irritating bugs and mosquitoes in the Altiplano. But that's true only when you're near a river, stream, or body of water. The fact is, I probably only used insect repellent myself 2 weeks out of the last year. And that, of course, is when I was hanging around the lowlands near beaches. I practically never use bug spray or any of the sort when I'm up in the Altiplano. So then what other bugs and critters are likely to get you? Well, they've got their own little varieties of bugs and critters up here you've never seen in the States. And the most annoying are these tiny, tiny little bugs that the locals call, for a lack of a better term, no-see-ems, because you can't hardly see them. They don't sting, but they can bite. But you'll only encounter them when you're near streams, rivers, and bodies of water. And of course, the bug spray will ward them off. By the way, you can buy totally organic, non-toxic, at least to humans, bug spray down here, made of all natural ingredients and stuff. But you'll find, as usual, the typical toxic spray with DEET in it is always the most effective and lasts the longest. Of course, it's nasty stuff. It'll give you three-headed kids or make you sterile, but you knew that already, right? But if you live in the Altiplano, you'll almost never need that stuff. So is that what you had in mind for your plan B? Because, you know, the first couple of years I was down in Latin America, I didn't even know what the Altiplano was. Now, I lived in San Jose, kind of at the very lower limit of the Altiplano, around 3,700 feet above sea level. So there were some pretty hot days, but it wasn't sweltering humidity like at the coast. So eventually, as you're traveling through Latin America, landing at airports, you'll find most all Latin cities are comfortable at night. But it's during the day when you'll notice whether you're in the Altiplano or not. I could spend a lot of time explaining how great it is, but you really have to experience it yourself. And if you come down to my July 2017 Expat Insider Seminar, you'll see just what the Altiplano is all about. We'll be in the Altiplano exclusively, and about 90% of the time, way off the Gringo tourist trail, so you'll rarely see a gringo. Though you will fly in with some, and you'll see some at the airport. You'll spot them right away. They'll either be singing kumbaya songs, or they'll all have matching t-shirts from their organization. And do check the eyes. They rarely blink, you know. And you might see some first world political scumbags. They're always coming in and out, too, because big Latin American cities are always holding conferences and conventions at big four-star champagne hotels on your tax dollar, of course. So if you hang around international airports enough, you'll get to see firsthand how first world and third world fat-ass political pusbags live like royalty on your tab. But you knew that already. So speaking of the Altiplano, you're going to see, feel it, and taste it if you come down to my Expat Insider Seminar in July. Yep, and you'll get a taste of the rainy season too. That lasts about 6 months a year, from May to October. They call it the winter here. And no, it's not raining all the time as depicted in many Hollywood movies south of the border. You've seen it, floods everywhere, houses, trees, garbage floating down the main street. Nope, it's not like that. Sure, it rains harder than you've ever seen it before up north, but it's only for maybe 2 hours a day and sometimes not at all. Usually starts by noon or one and it's over by three or four. So it is somewhat predictable, but not to worry, it doesn't slow our seminar down a bit. And where to get all the information and sign-up details, go to www.thenewexpat.com, click on Johnny's 2017 seminar link, and you'll see all you need to know. Oh, and once again, people are asking if I can hook them up with a roommate. You know, you get a big $1,000 discount if you come down as two people or a couple sharing double occupancy, which has prompted some people who want to come down as a single to ask me if I could hook them up with a roommate, and so each of them could share in that $1,000 rebate or $500 apiece. And it seems like with every single seminar I've had, I've hooked up a few pairs like that. Same for this seminar. I've got people asking already. So just know that if you are coming down as a single and don't mind sharing double occupancy with someone you don't know, of course I'll give you emails to exchange so you can see if you're compatible. Just let me know and I'll see if I can put it together. I've always had success hooking up roommates so far. By the way, no mixed genders, please. That would complicate things. Oh, and remember, we're on the early bird discount plan right now, and that ends on June 1st. Then both the single and double occupancy price goes up by $500. So if you want to take advantage of that discount, you have to sign up by June 1st. Oh, and don't forget, if you sign up after the first week in June, it'll be very difficult for you to take advantage of killing two birds with one stone. That is coming down to the seminar, and at the same time, applying for your permanent or temporary residency in Guatemala. If you get the paperwork done up north and get your application in when you come down here to the seminar, it saves you a trip down at a later date. And lastly, don't forget to add a few days onto the beginning or the end of your seminar trip to take one or both of those fabulous John Galt pre- and post-seminar trips. Attendees have nothing but raves and kudos for them. And finally, if you're chugging along on that plan B and just can't get boots on the ground right now, don't forget to sign up for my Expat Essentials course at expatplanb.com. Just go to the site and get my free 3 introduction videos for my 8-hour course. And speaking about chugging along on that plan B, you know, every week I do personal phone consults with people in various stages of their plan B. Everybody's different, you know. We've all got our own special circumstances. So if you want to have a one-on-one half-hour or hour-long phone consult with me, be sure to send me an email at theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll send you my in-depth Plan B questionnaire. And while you're at it, go to the newexpat.com website and download that questionnaire. I think we just put it up there. So go to www.thenewexpat.com. It'll help you organize yourself and get your ideas together before we talk. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah, talking about dog and dog doo-doo. Yes, we've already established that most Latins are not picky and they're not clean freaks. That's not to say there aren't exceptions to the rule. And funny enough, when I do see a glaring example of Latin neatness, I'll usually snap a photo for future reference for my seminar presentation and my YouTube channel. Now, of course, some years ago, when first world hotels arrived, like the Marriott and the Clarion Suites and the Intercontinental, and when first world franchises arrived, like McDonald's, Kentucky Fried, Starbucks, whatever, they're set up under the usual gringo playbook with gringo standards, so you can expect first world service, cleanliness, and order. If not, the main office in the States will pull the franchise. Hey, that's part of investing in a franchise, right? You gotta follow their rule book. Now, of course, there are many, many pure Latin homegrown franchises too. Almost none that you'll ever see up in the States because they just wouldn't survive. They won't cut it up there. So let me warn you, even if you go into a famous food franchise here in Latin America, you know, one that's on the tip of the tongue of all Latins, I'm talking about those popular local taco and chicken licking places. Don't expect to see the details, order, and cleanliness of a U.S.-based franchise, which is also part of your gringo advantage in business, you know. However, it's not much of an advantage if you plan on eating at one of those places. That's why my number one rule for gringos and gringas who come down asking where are some good local places to eat, I say, do this test yourself. Walk in, stick your head in the kitchen, then walk into the public bathroom. Then you'll instantly know if you want to sit down and eat or walk back out to your car. But back to dog doo-doo. You know, I just don't get it with Latins. Why don't they just take their puppies when they're very young and walk them out to a certain area of the yard and let them do their thing? If you keep doing that for a couple of days or weeks, eventually that's the only place your dog's going to want to do it. But it seems that little exercise is above the ability of most Latins. Oh, and another thing. I can't tell you how many times I've been sitting at a Latin person's house and the dog's jumping up, pawing on people walking through the door. Sometimes I'll say a few words to the owner, especially if there's a gringa woman being pawed. I'll phrase it gently. I'll say, you know, it's easy to teach a dog not to jump up on people. And the Latin person or owner will give me a look like, really? Or they'll just stare at me like I'm from another planet because some Latins really like the attention they get when they walk in the door. The dog's all over them. They like that. Though most often I give them this one little pointer that works every time. Next time your dog jumps up, grab his two paws, start dancing with him. And don't let go of those paws until he really starts resisting and fussing. You see, dogs hate it when someone's holding their paws and restricting their movement. Now, you're not really hurting the dog at all. You just put him in such a spot that he's uncomfortable and has no options. All right, so he squeaks or whines a bit, you let him go. Next time he tries it, the same thing. You grab his two paws and you start dancing with him around the room until he squeaks and makes a noise again. And repeat as necessary. Bottom line, you'll find dogs, like gringos, don't like to dance. And they'll only do it when forced into it. Anyway, soon enough, usually within a week, he'll never jump up on a person again. Now, of course, you won't want to be doing that with an attack dog. By the way, it's my opinion that having a dog is one of the best security measures you could have in your house. But a little squeaky, whiny dog, well, that's good for telling you if people are outside your windows, I guess. But I personally prefer a dog with a nice deep chest and a kind of a woof, woof kind of bark, you know? And as for dogs that are strictly trained to attack or be vigilant guards, well, maybe if you're using a dog to guard a business or a big warehouse or something. But as far as I'm concerned, I want my dog to be a pet and not be thinking always in the back of my mind when someone knocks at the door, he's got the potential to go for the guy's throat. And if you're away a lot, traveling for days and weeks at a time, who's going to take care of him? Who's going to feed him? Who's going to pick up the doo-doo? Well, of course, if you've got a decent-sized house and a big yard, you're going to have a garden, and you're going to have a gardener that comes in every day or a couple times a week. He's one option to feed your dog. Or if you have a live-in cleaning lady, like many of us have, she'll be living in your house when you're gone. She'll be in her cuarto de servicio, that's servant's quarters. I know, sounds so pretentious, doesn't it? And you'll be gone, but she'll be living in. I mean, that's what she does. She's a live-in maid, right? So under those circumstances, no worry. And if you live in an apartment and you're going to be away for a while, make an arrangement with the maintenance guy or your neighbors, or just board the dog at one of the local vets. Yep, vets will do that here too, but I suggest you do it with a vet that's kind of out of the city limits. Then your dog will have a place to run. If you do it with a vet that's in the city, you can bet the dog will be stuck in a cage for days at a time. By the way, to board a dog down here usually costs something like 10 bucks a day. Another question comes up about dogs and cats and pets, etc. Are there a lot of restrictions when you try to rent a place? Are there many places that just won't accept pets? Well, yes, some apartments and apartment complexes have restrictions, but most people will find money talks, and if you tell the landlord you'll give an extra, let's say, 25 bucks a month, that often greases the skids nicely. However, be forewarned, just like in any neighborhood, if you have a noisy, barking dog, neighbors will get pissed, and you know you want to be friends with your neighbors. And finally, I still get those security questions from gringos and expats saying, look, if you have a dog and someone wants to rob your house or whatever, aren't they just going to throw some poison over the fence, kill your dog, and come in? Well, you know what? I heard that story a million times ever since I got down here over 25 years ago now. And never, not once, have I ever personally heard of an incident where a dog's been killed that way. Not even a rumor from a friend of a friend. However, I've been at people's houses and at get-togethers where I've heard dogs barking next door or down the block, and I've heard Latins in the room say, someday I'm going to kill that dog. You know, I heard that when I was back in the States, too, but I've never seen those threats carried out.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.